their hard work in 22. We accomplished a lot and had double duty meetings, and so thank you everybody for all that input. And I'm going to call the meeting to order. It is 5:05 on February 8th, and this is the American Rescue Plan Act Special Committee meeting. Could you call roll, please?
Criswell.
Here.
Corcoran is absent. Levine.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
And Sperry is absent.
Thank you so much. And could I get a motion to approve over the minutes of the November 30th regular meeting?
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that passes. Thank you. So we have a couple things that we're going to do today. First off, we're going to hear from Nate, who has updated his colorful spreadsheet for us. We're going to get a whole full interactive display going on. So let me talk a little bit about monetary tracking. So we've got kind of two things going at the same time. So Amber has been tracking in our pie chart tracker that we've all been using for the past year, which has been super helpful. Now we're getting to the phase where we're actually starting to really spend the money. And so Nate's going to talk to us a little bit more about what his team's been doing, and also talk to us a little bit about where these projects are right now in terms of how far they've been actualized, what the money's been spent, where we're at. So numbers might seem a little bit different with these two, but what I want us to focus on is what he's saying is done, but the money that we're tracking is still going to be kind of on this tracker here. So this is where I want us to be focusing on what we have left in the kitty, basically, to spend on ARPA. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right, great. So we're going to have Nate, and then we're going to talk through resolutions, and then we're going to have a little bit of a conversation about this report that we want to produce this year. And I think we should be out of here fairly shortly tonight, because we don't have a huge agenda. So, Nate, if you could take us down the road here.
Thank you. I'm continuing with the progress tracker format. There's multiple sheets on this. It was part of the committee packet, so I know it's not always perfectly easy to see up front. I might be able to tilt this if I'm good. Is that any better? Maybe not. But hopefully people can see, and it's also available if you want to pull it up if you have a laptop. But essentially, we have projects starting with B, going to M, because we have roughly 20 projects. They're in different stages, including agricultural crisis relief, that there's additional funding that's in front of the legislature currently. I just thought it easy to understand would be this format going left to right, but we have brownfields. And let me just introduce like the major areas of this. Obviously, down at the bottom, we have a few different sheets. I wanted you to see a number of things and have hopefully not too much detail, but the right amount of detail to answer all questions or for the folks who want to look a little deeper. So this is basically just kind of a broad view, somewhat subject to change as projects continue and as we work out the process necessary for each project and all the different milestones that are going to be needed. But it does have every project and major milestone categories is what we're trying to do. There is also, so I'm going to like survey and then I'm going to come back. I wanted to give you information. Anything green is completed, but basically this is a list of our contracts, because contracts in many ways dictate status of projects, and it also in many ways dictates what's obligated. And we are looking on the U.S. Treasury timeline of obligated by the end of 2024. So a focus on contracts.
Can you tell us again, so it's obligated by 24, spent by?
End of 2026. Luckily, it's end of 2024, and it gives us a little more time.
Thank you.
So roughly 2 years to obligate and 2 years to expend. We are already into expenditures. We are already well into obligated, and quick updates on that. We just did our recent U.S. Treasury report to the end of 2022, and we're about $12 million on obligated and about $6 million on expended out of $34 million total. So roughly on track. I think we'll pick up on those numbers as well. And we did two special sheets here.
Can I throw a third word in here? So allocated is the other word. So allocated is what we're looking at on our tracker. Obligated and expended are the words that Nate and the team are working with.
Yeah.
So we're clear that there's three words going on here.
Semantics can be tough. Kind of a word on that.
It's important, though, that we're on track with what we're talking about and that you're on track with what you're talking about.
And I go by those two terms, obligated and expended, because that's what U.S. Treasury uses. So it's... And the way we've defined obligated, just to go into like a little bit deeper into that, and I've worked with the Commissioner of Finance on this, is that we have a signed contract and we have a purchase order. So that's what we're heading towards from a real, more of a granular, like, can we get there? So let's see. All right, so we have a special page for sewer and water contracts, which we can look at further, and nonprofit contracts. But then at the end, just to give it a quick mention, I wanted to have one page where I was like, if you want to know, you know, is this a capital project, and what is the capital project number? Is this an operating? Which year of operating? You know, what are more of the approved funding details? I wanted you to have more of a full spreadsheet on that. And we can, that's kind of the nuts and bolts, so we can, but I wanted to swing back now to basically just giving you an update on status of projects, if there's no questions at this point. And brownfields, there is a resolution. Amanda Laval is with planning, is overseeing that, and the first contract resolution is in front of the legislature for Labella to move forward on, so that we can start phase one and phase twos on a number of properties. There's also,
and I have a list of those properties tonight, so I can go over those briefly with us all.
And I know she's also done a lot with Hertel Landfill, and that's in front of the legislature as well. Slightly separate, though. Crisis Stabilization Center building is purchased. Architect and engineering contract is signed. Plans have been received, certainly for the fourth floor, which will be where mental health is going. I understand that DPW, so you can see four plans completed. DPW is planning to do the renovation of the fourth floor, to my knowledge. And they're looking also at getting first floor plans and probably getting like a full project budget together on the first floor, which would be the Crisis Stabilization Center.
Just curious, are there any target dates attached to some of these things?
I haven't gone that far.
Okay.
Not a bad idea.
I don't want to push. It would be nice to just get a general sense of like, okay, we'd love a target, a move-in complete by X date, you know? Just so that we have some sense of what the full timeline is on it. And I think we all will then agree to that there's flexibility because it's construction and we all know.
But
would that be helpful for everybody? Okay.
Great. That makes a lot of sense. I can definitely tell you like that fourth floor, partly because DPW, like because we already have plans and because DPW is planning to do it, will move pretty fast, I think, and I'm thinking roughly May, June. It's hard to say as much about the first floor, so maybe like further meetings I can tell you a little bit more coming back. Elizabeth Manor, from an ARPA perspective of just county funds, was really a purchase. Now I know there's a lot more to it, so I think I'm willing to give a little bit of understanding to the committee about where we are, but obviously the purchase is complete, but I did leave off, you know, there is a whole bunch of stuff, and we are project management. Our division has been put in charge of project management for this, so there is a bunch of things we're doing.
I think that would be super helpful, because when people ask us what's happening, they're not going to say, oh, that's the ARPA portion or that's the county portion. They just want to know what's happening with Elizabeth Manor. So for our information, when we're talking to constituents, it would be great to just have a general sense of, like, here's the other phases that are expected to happen, and maybe even just saying, you know, county obligation or whatever, however you want to say it there, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm complicating your world here, Nate.
Give me thoughts. That's okay. I think I need a little more guidance from the executive side on how to report on that.
Okay.
But also, I think I'm happy to give you some of the broad strokes, which is that there are a few RFPs we're working on with this, one of which is going to be released soon from purchasing, and that'll be for an operator. We have a signed contract for architect and engineering, and partly based off the recommendation of the architect was get an operator so that we can have that as part of the project team and they can provide input on the building and the renovation.
And there's also monies coming in from the city and from Hinchey's office, right?
Correct.
So it'd be good to get a sense of, do we have that money or not?
We don't, but I'm working on it.
All right.
I have a model contract going to the city of Kingston. Because that contract, what's interesting is that contract is coming from the city of Kingston to us as the subrecipient. So I'm working with them to hopefully get to their contract, which we would then sign. And then we would have $500,000 officially coming from the city of Kingston. So that is a very important step. SAM grant needs full project budget certified by an architect. So that is definitely on the list, but we are getting to draft plans before we can get to that point. So, I love development and construction, so I do like sharing those pieces. Okay, so if that's enough on that, food security and access, the way I think of it and the way our division thinks of it is it's two contracts, two subrecipient agreements. One is approved as a contract and signed at this point by Family of Woodstock for $75,000. That's for 3 years where they will help coordinate basically the food working group, in a sense, across the county and all the different pieces and nonprofits and the input and data points that they provide so that we keep track of that and we have some data coming to us for the next 3 years as the county.
And remember, this is not Family of Woodstock per se. This is a contract that's through Family of Woodstock for Ulster Corps. Remember, Ulster Corps didn't want to hold the contract, so Family of Woodstock's holding the contract. Ulster Corps is really the team that's going to be, there's going to be a person who's assigned for this 3-year period of convening players in the food world in Ulster County to kind of talk about what are the resources and how are things moving forward, that type of thing. So.
Yep, all true. And then, so the second contract is Community Foundation for the Hudson Valley. They are going to be running more of a direct program. It's going to be a small grant program for food service providers, nonprofits, for example, in Ulster County. And we need to get going on the draft contract for that. It is $275,000 at the moment. We have a number of other bigger value contracts, so we haven't lost track of it in anything, but we are kind of prioritizing some of the bigger contracts from a getting the obligated out there perspective. But that is very important from a community need standpoint, so we are definitely looking to get that in place. My hope is next 4 to 5 months where the contract's in place and some of the grant. And it's also a grant program, so it's going to take Community Foundation for the Hudson Valley a little bit more time to get that out there. So we should get them rolling as well. That's how I'm thinking about it at this point. Yes.
Is that why it's the $275,000 isn't an obligated or expended? Because you haven't
Yes.
completed the contract?
That is exactly right. Yep. Good. And so all these numbers at the bottom, we are following from our U.S. Treasury reports for each quarter. So these numbers are submitted to U.S. Treasury and are put on the Ulster County webpage as part of the ARP page. We've been sharing it publicly that way for the U.S. Treasury reports. And I think it's the easiest way to kind of show the... You know, again, we all know it's $34 million. A lot of it is allocated, but that term doesn't exactly matter for the U.S. Treasury side. So it's really when it's obligated and expended. That's all we're showing here. So that is understood. All right. So let me shift it a little bit. about food security and access. Now we're going to go into, I know that the contract resolution is in front, is one of the resolutions for tonight for green energy retrofits and job training. That is, the funding has been approved. It is, again, two contracts. We have community Citizens for Local Power, soon to be probably already Communities for Local Power, and as one contract that's drafted, and I just heard from the county attorney, and now it can go back to them for signature. So that's moving, but not signed. And then we have, and that's for $90,000, also for 3 years, to partially fund a position that will basically facilitate their job training program. So there's a lot of new people entering the job market, learning skills, becoming part of Ulster County, hopefully staying with Ulster County and being part of our core group of professionals doing green energy work.
So I just want to interject one thing. As Nate's talking, this is the kind of information that I personally want to see in this report that we're going to be putting out, because this is real. This is real. And people can relate to this, you know. So I want to be showing that we're using this money to do this kind of thing. Because numbers on paper are one thing, but when we start telling the human story about we're doing this training, we're trying to, you know, train X number of people over X number of years, I think that's the thing that people are going to see impact on how we actually spend this money. Did you have a question?
Good. Yeah. No, actually, the training component, I would love to see them link up with BOCES. So we have local kids that get trained instead of, you know, them bringing people in from Schoharie County to be trained.
Yep, that's great.
There's no way we can put that in the contract?
It's already drafted and approved. Mm-hmm. I can I am in touch with the executive director, and I can just ask, like, what are you doing with BOCES? Like, I assume they've thought it through, but I would like to encourage them for sure.
Let's find out for sure.
And so there's a second contract there, currently as one of the resolutions for approval, and that is the green energy retrofits, and that is to assistance to at least 10 homeowners, I believe it is, that's how it's written, where they would be qualified income homeowners, 80% AMI or less, and that would be a subrecipient agreement with RUPCO. And those homeowners would be getting a number of different upgrades based on testing criteria, a blower door test of the home, finding out where deficiencies exist in the home, where cold air is coming in, where their boiler might not be drafting correctly, any number of things. And that's why we have the professional come in and creating a work scope, doing it basically to energy improve the home, and then testing out. And I'm sure we're going to talk about that a little bit more later.
Is there a target value they're going to shoot for, like a 20% improvement, or?
I would love 20%. A lot depends on the home sometimes. And there is language in the contract to prioritize. I don't know the exact wording, of course, but like the homeowners that are most in distress. So I assume they'll, if you have a house, it's an interesting thing. I've done this work a bit, and I one of the things I appreciate about the way this is getting done is that there was a first contract with RUPCO through CDBG funds where they did home improvements. And I think having this come next is probably a good thing, because usually like, you don't want to replace a boiler in a home where the roof's leaking. Sometimes like just critical repairs go hand in hand with energy improvements, and you can't do the energy improvement until you do the critical repair, particularly when you're looking at more of a low-income home ownership population. That tends to be the case, and it's challenging to, you know, look at insulating an older foundation when there's maybe a major water issue that hasn't been addressed, you know. So all these things kind of, so I think having the experience of RUPCO with doing this once before is an important piece, and then this being the next step as a pilot program for the county.
Nick,
where they can do energy improvements. Go ahead.
Economic Development Committee. Tom was talking about how the blower test, which I had it done, but I don't know the science behind it. The goal is to get it to a 3, and the leaky house is at a 15.
You're never going to get a 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, he said... What
but I would like to see some level of improvement.
Yeah.
I mean, not say that, okay, it's a 15, it's got to be down to a 7 or whatever, but I'd love to see that we're doing the test. We've done improvements. I'd like to see some level of improvements on the blowdown test.
Right.
Like a percentage.
20%, 15%, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that you know you're expending money for a reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we could go in and insulate the whole house, and the thing still leaks like a sieve, and you spend thousands and thousands of money, tens of thousands.
For nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And you don't want to pick a house that's not bad, and then get like a marginal improvement. It's like exactly what you're saying.
Right.
I understand that.
But typically the lower income people have the worst houses because that's all they can afford.
Yep.
So.
Yep. I know Mike Darcy is one person I might reach out to and just ask if there's more of a average that he's seen. So I might learn a little bit more that way. Okay, so Golden Hill Jail demo, $900,000 expended out of a $1.3 million contract. I did drive up to the site. I did not get out of my car, but I did notice that there was no more jail. So I just wanted to see for myself, and I'm excited that that has moved as quick as it has.
So is that a final number there? So that means that we'll get that balance back?
No.
The demo's not complete.
No. This is your total contract price, and it is a construction contract.
Okay.
So they are going to, they have work remaining.
Okay.
So, and I'm pretty sure that they moved quickly. Now it's the winter months. I think they're still waiting for a little bit warmer weather to do like the site remediation type stuff.
Just because we've been talking about, you know, when we get totals, final totals, that there will be some monies that end up coming back. We hope.
Oh yeah, we'll keep watching that for sure. I think that will be the case in some areas.
Get the $3 from Elizabeth Manor.
Yeah, we got $3 back.
So I know that the allocated amount for this was $1.5 million.
Right.
It came in, the contract price came in under, after we did the RFP, came in under. So probably based on your allocated numbers, there actually is already a savings there. So, yeah.
Hey?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you just say a little more of what you saw and when you were up there?
Yeah, there was a gate, you know, chain link gate. I didn't have the key. I just parked there. I mean, mainly I was just looking for broad strokes. Just having done some development work, I like to put eyes on things. I saw no building. I mean, I don't know, having not gotten out, I don't know if they, like, what kind of foundation work they had to remove, which could have been below grade. But I didn't see anything above grade to my eye, and I was just parked outside the gate, which was locked. Of course, I saw the equipment there, so I knew there was further work to do and things like that. And honestly, it's about the most I can report at this point. But
was there still demolition, deconstruction, debris there?
I didn't see debris. It actually seemed like a pretty clean site. Yeah.
You said you were up there last week?
No. Honestly, more like a month ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I haven't talked to DPW, but I did get a project schedule from them. I'd have to look at it to confirm, but I think there was going to be a pause as they got through the winter and waited for like March, April. Yeah. So I'm not, this is where I thought we would be. Yeah. Okay, land bank, I think I reported. So I did have a presentation to the county executive. I know that she is working with Legislator Bartels, and they are trying to work with the city of Kingston a little bit more on making that work. So I'm just waiting to hear more on that. Legal Services of the Hudson Valley, that contract, we've been working with DSS. It has gone through the county attorney approval. It is gone to the vendor to sign. I have a meeting with DSS and Mike Iaposi to talk more about the nuts and bolts of the details about how we're going to manage.
I did hear some concern about that just because it's really a timely support, and so as quickly as we can get that moving along, that would be really important.
Yep.
So,
I'm eager to see that contract signed. So okay. We get it back from the vendor. We always got to do insurances and whatnot, sure. And then it'll go to county signatures.
Okay.
Main Streets. I've been in touch with Samantha and economic development on this. They are doing a lot with the CARES 2, which is a small business grant program. I'm going to meet monthly with economic development it has funding approval, it has contract approval. I did look over the contract. There's a few little edits. I confirmed with the county attorney's office that we're pretty well clear with them. And I think we just need to get it into final form and then have UC to sign it and approve by the board. So we're working on it.
You said it's got contract approval?
Oh. It does.
Okay. Is it just getting checked off on the with the green when it gets for Main Street?
So that's legislative contract approval. So we got a resolution for contract approval.
Okay.
That's what that means.
As the processes are going through, you're highlighting them with the green.
And correct.
Okay.
You got it.
So it's easy to follow. Thank you.
Yep. It is colorful. Maybe it's a little more appealing.
And for Main Streets, do you have a target time for advertising that you want to get the word out there?
So that's going to be up to the subrecipient, which is UCEDA.
Okay.
Because they being a subrecipient means they're managing a program and running a program.
All right.
So those contract details are there in the contract.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're really casting a wide net and that we give people enough time, because I think we saw that with water and sewer. People weren't quite ready, and so we want to make sure that people are ready and that they really understand that this is happening. So
great.
CARES 2 up there. Which column is CARES 2 in?
Haven't gotten there yet. Okay. I think I titled it Small Business, so it's going to be under the S's. We can always skip ahead, but all right. So let's roll on a little bit. All right. So there's only one more here: mental health, kids in schools. I did speak with the deputy commissioner of mental health, and she provided. Basically, it sounds like that is now in happening. It is there, and one of my questions was, we haven't seen an invoice yet. So, we're being more of an administrative division, we can track things better once we start getting invoices. I know the program started, I know the contract signed. I think when we'll get more when we get that invoice, and I'm sure that's coming shortly.
That's another one that will want details of how many schools visited, how many, rough numbers on how many youth, served, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Makes a lot of sense.
All right.
So now I'm shifting to just the other sheet that has the rest of the projects. Nonprofit grant, we've been leading that one as a division. There's actually a little bit update to the numbers. We have 48 out of 50 contracts signed. Molly's been doing a lot on that. I'm just thinking of how many first invoices we have for those contracts, and I'm guessing we're probably at 50% of receives. So there's a lot of disbursements that are either out the door already or heading out the door, and I know from two nonprofits, we've already received backup documentation of expenditure on the first tranche of funds, and so we're working on a second disbursement to them.
This is as of what?
This is as well. When I prepared this, it was last week, and so the 48 out of 50 is of signed contracts is as of this week. Did I answer your question?
That does. Yeah.
Okay,
thank you.
Good.
So this is again a really good opportunity for some storytelling about who these nonprofits are and how this money is helping them. So, at some point we might even want to try and figure out some way to communicate with them and say, hey, can you give us a few sentences about what this money means to your organization or something like that,
That sounds great.
So that I'm not sure who would do that work. Maybe somebody from the committee. We could divvy it up or do something like that, but
depending on where, in whose district the organization is.
That's great.
Yeah.
I spoke to Tim Wiedemann this week about how this model can help us a lot with creating agency partner grants like Dutchess County does.
Great.
To not only know our nonprofits, but understand how to work with them. And
that's
those
great.
Stories would really help.
That's great.
Great idea.
All right.
Good stories. Like some of the programs are really, really nice.
Great.
There's a lot of opportunity for that.
That's excellent.
Do you know why you didn't get those last two in yet?
Yeah, I do. I do. You know, the being that there's 50 contracts, there's I'm pleased that there's only two that we're still working on. I think it's okay to say names, but ARC Middle Hudson, nothing really exactly wrong. It's just that they initially, when we really looked at it, they were doing a capital improvement, and it just was, you know, with prevailing wage and a number of things, we were like, we should really shift. It's not designed for this. And mm-hmm. we did, and they have a very, we tried to keep it as in line with the review committee's expectations as possible. We met with them. I viewed their site. We drafted a different scope. It fit within the ARPA rules, and it was one where we had to pivot. And there's been a few just work-throughs of the scope of work. They're in the county attorney's office now, and that should move forward. Yeah. We tried to be, you know, we use a real light touch. We wanted to keep the committee. Obviously, we were not part of the committee, so like the committee's intention. It's one reason why we stayed with the nonprofit and everything. And we went to them and we're like, we just need to know where your other needs are and how this can fit as close as possible with what you design.
It's a good pivot.
And the second.
Thank you. So, yeah, it's a little more interesting. Libraries are interesting. some of you may or may not know this. There's about 7 different types of libraries. And as a business structure, let's say, you know, like nonprofits are obviously incorporated a certain way. Some libraries are nonprofits. Some libraries are not. Some libraries are publicly funded. It cannot be nonprofits. And one got approved for funding and then slipped through our fingers. And so it's technically not a nonprofit, not a 501c3. We are working with them. We didn't want to just, like, you know, leave them hanging. So there is an opportunity that they are looking into to partner with a nonprofit where then they maybe can have a partnership
so
and we can give the funding
sponsor.
To. Yeah. So they were obviously awarded and we wanted to just work with them and give it a few more months. That will probably, there'll be a lag on that, I'm sure.
Okay.
Because they're going to need some time.
Can another library that's a nonprofit serve as their fiscal sponsor?
Yeah, that's something we suggested, and they have said that they've thought of that, and they're going to get back to us.
I think one of the things they were trying to do is maybe do like the Mid-Hudson Library System.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And work with, so that.
Got it. That would make sense.
So OSI Trails, they are at least 80% complete on the first trail, which is the Wallkill going from New Paltz to Gardner. They have reported that they have started pre-development work on the other two trails. They have received $60,000 and we're working to receive, per their contract, they have to show us full expenditure of what we've given them because it's an advance of funds. And we're working through documents they've recently given to us, and then we will release further funds. But they've done a lot of work, and I want them to be compensated, obviously. So, but we have to follow the contract, and we're working through that. There's other major phases coming in that. It is $2.1 million, so we are also getting to a point where with the spring, we should probably see the completion of the Wallkill Trail. I know they had a there's a few different names I've heard, but I think Boppy's Bridge is the last major piece of the Wallkill Trail that they have to do. I know they did the demo on the members going across the bridge. There was some rot on the metal, like the I-beams, and so they had to fix that. And I think with the spring, they'll have it all buttoned up and they'll have the trail fully open and going. Yeah.
Nate, would you be able to shrink this, just a little bit so that we'd be
sure.
able to see the funding on the bottom.
Yeah, I didn't realize that left. And also I can do this. Yeah, the headers can come down a little bit. How's that? Too much?
My eyes are okay.
Do one more up.
Yep.
Perfect.
That was much better.
That's good.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yep.
Is that okay for you down there, Grandpa?
No.
Which Grandpa?
Yeah, I forgot back.
I couldn't see it, but there can read it. Sorry. I'm following it on my phone.
All right. All right. So, Parks Grant, I know there's been a lot of people are eager for that. Us too. I put February. Honestly, I'm hoping early February. We've been doing a bunch on it. More to come. we will get that out shortly.
I think I have that same concern that there's enough time between the announcement and just making sure that that nobody feels left behind. That's a concern. So
yep, we tried to leave enough. We have like a bit of a schedule on how much time we will have it open.
Okay.
And I know it's going to be at least 5 weeks,
okay.
Which I hope is plenty of time.
Right.
If you could just, as soon as it's ready to go, where I know, I don't know if I speak for everybody else, but I definitely have some projects that are ready to, at the drop of a hat. So, as soon as we can get this ball rolling, I would appreciate if we could just get notified of that.
Yep. Our working practice.
Yes.
So there's a number of for grant releases, new applications gone out. This has been the case. We did the re-release of Sewer and Water a few weeks ago. Our working practice, obviously it's, our first priority is we email all the supervisors, all the heads of municipalities, but then likewise our working practice is to also email all county legislatures so that it gets out there and you can bring it to anybody. Okay, so that's Parks. 114 Route 28, I got tired of calling it the Quality Inn. so sorry, I don't have a better name than that. That is the address of the parcel. We have a meeting actually with Supervisor Quigley, and we have a drafted contract. It is county attorney approved, but we have some further discussion on the contract.
We have that meeting tomorrow, so we'll report back out next meeting.
Respite houses, been a little bit of a concern. Obviously, there's not quite as much done. We are moving quicker, I would say. There is a lot of work being done to look at a site in Ellenville. I know there's an RFP that is getting ready for an operator of, it's more of like a some an operator who could come in and, like what we've done with the Crisis Stabilization Center, and we would award, so we would know who was going to run these places. It is, we have to, and I know there was three sites approximately, so there's other sites other than Ellenville, but we're working on finding additionals. Sewer and Water Grant Program, we did round two, about $400,000 of funding still available. It's out there. I think the memory serves, I think it was 17th of March when that deadline is.
I thought it was the 24th of February.
I may be wrong.
What is this for?
So this is the
second round
of Sewer and Water. So I'm going to take that back because I'm not sure enough.
24th of February.
Thank you, 24th of February. So we're looking to get responses, and then we'll process that. And
have you had responses so far to the second round?
Not a lot. We've had a few questions, but they've been mostly technical questions.
But no actual real.
I don't think we've gotten any applications.
But there were a limited number of municipalities that were able to apply for it, right? So okay.
In the very beginning, we did get a few inquiries of when is this going to open?
Yep.
So I think we're expecting at least three.
Okay,
three would be great. Yeah. Assuming we have 400,000,
right?
Okay, should hopefully be used up for that.
Good to know.
Other big push that's a lot on my mind is just doing the work to get the. This point, we will have at least one more contract for sewer and water into the legislature for February. February 10th is coming quickly for us with the executive deadline. We have 10 more contracts to go. There's a lot to look at with these types of contracts. Not to say that, you know, we kind of feel the need to get them to the legislature as soon as possible for contract approval. But when we're looking at larger capital projects and, you know, project budgets, timelines, funding needs, a lot of the things that need to be incorporated in the contract, Seeker, they take a little more time. But we're hoping to get them to as soon as possible. And so that's part of the phase one, and that's the 12 existing contracts that we want to get going. All right. Silver Gardens, that one has gone. So this is would be a subrecipient agreement with RUPCO, $600,000 to support a project in Lloyd, which would be an affordable housing development. We're not going to get into we've communicated this, but we're not going to sign that agreement until we know that they have the funding for the project. And so they have a 9% application into New York State through Homes and Community Renewal, and their application is under review, and we're waiting to hear from Homes and Community Renewal at this point. Hopefully they get awarded.
So if it doesn't happen, this all then just goes right back into the kitty of what we can spend, right?
I mean, they were fairly confident to us that they were going to get approval on that, right? It was
well, and so they've, yeah, and I think one of the things I can say about their current submission is that they weren't able to include, like, I think the timing was just a little off. So they applied once, and I think we were right after with the resolution approval, and so they weren't able to officially say and get points on the application for the county support. And so the hope is with the resubmission that they will have it. And
so is that clear? They applied and got denied, and this is a second application for this same funding source.
So just understand, it's like local buy-in, essentially, is like what HCR calls it. So
Right. And it's, you know, because it's a competitive program, they get scored. And, of course, you know, that GARS funding support will give them more points.
Great. Okay.
All right, so there we are, small business. Sorry, it's the last one. I should put a C on it. All right. So I know that they basically applications have been received and are under review with UCEDA, with the Support of Economic Development. Application deadline passed. I got a question recently about when's the committee meeting. I don't know.
I have it in my calendar.
Yeah.
This week, I'm on the review committee. Or next week. February 16th at 4.
Okay.
Thursday, next
That's
Thursday.
Correct.
And then, like the nonprofits, once all these small businesses are actually awarded, there'll be a list that will be available to us to what small businesses got the funds.
I can reach out to Economic Development, but I don't see how that would get from. I know they provided that on CARES 1. So
right. Okay. That's great.
So that's kind of the each project in a nutshell, I think, if
excellent.
You will. I'm happy to take other questions or look at any of the other sheets.
I am going to move us along a little bit because it's 10 to 6. No, this is. I just want to actually acknowledge how much work is here and how much work your team has done. So thank you very much. It's really, really a lot of work, and I think we all can see now, like, all the multiple components just to one of these tracks, and now you've got all these different tracks going at the same time. So thank you very much.
It's quite helpful to be able to keep track of where everything is in the process of each individual project.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm really excited to communicate it to you and have the opportunity because I know we had a year of a lot of things going on and funding approvals, and now it's getting to a point where I'm like, oh, I can collect and organize this and show it to you.
It feels real, doesn't it? Yeah, like when you start hearing it in these details, it's really great. So thank you.
What do you think about having a row that says allocated so that you can see silver?
You know, I actually thought the same thing. If you could just add a row in there that's allocated that then matches our tracker, basically, that'd be good.
That's doable.
So we're so showing.
I don't think that would be too much.
Yeah.
General observation I want to share with the committee. I think that, and thank you for this presentation. This perhaps because all these projects come before this committee particularly, and then before all of us, I feel like I know more detail about these than pretty much any other project going on in the county right now. And I wonder if that might not be something that we could expand out once ARP is over and done with, to just be able to follow along with more projects in this kind of detail.
I agree with you. There's times where I feel lost when I'm hearing things. So it's like, do I even know what that project is and where is it at? So I'm in sync with that for sure. I'm not sure how we would actually make that happen, but I think that's a great idea. So thank you for that. All right, I'm going to move us along a little bit. I do want to talk a little bit about the tracker, if you all have a copy of it. So Amber, thank you, made some adjustments here. Mm-hmm. And you can see that the there's a gray area, and that gray area is costs which have been fully executed. So in theory, these gray areas should meet your should match your allocated funds area. So we can check that. The actual expenses for the Constituent Services Navigator, which got pulled, will be updated and finalized once the 22 county financial statements are closed. So there's going to be, I'm assuming, some savings on that. Is that correct? Yeah. So the total value of ARPA unassigned right now is $4,708,410. There are two proposals that are still kind of on the table. Obviously, the agricultural crisis relief, which is going to get voted on at this session, as well as this ARPA sewer and water matching program that Laura Petit put in as a resolution.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just are we expecting the CSN or at least a portion of it to be reallocated back into the unallocated funding?
That's
it was initially 458, I believe. It was at $450,000 some dollars, and okay. So I've adjusted it downward for what the revenue shows currently. And it'll just be a matter of making sure that that number is finalized through like closing procedures, but I expect that 361 to be it, if not very, very close.
Okay.
To it.
Okay, great, thank you,
appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, any questions on the tracker? Again, thank you so much for doing this. It's super clear and
very much
appreciate that. All right, so I want to move on to resolutions. If I could have a motion for discussion for resolution 541.
I'll make the motion.
And a second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really just us. All right, great. All in favor? Yes.
Aye.
All right, thank you. So this is the resolution that I was just talking about, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually ask the sponsor to withdraw this, because what we've heard now is that we have put out the word not once but twice, and we're just not getting hearty response. And so to allocate another $1 million to this, I think is not a great use of the remainder of our funds. And so I'm going to ask Laura if she'll actually withdraw this resolution, unless I hear
And Joe, right?
Committee.
Is that 541 you're talking about?
Yeah.
541, yeah.
I know. I watched the State of the Union last night. And there was a lot of talk about the Jobs Act and how much money is going to be forwarded to us for water and sewer and infrastructure, highways and bridges. But most federal programs, it's either 80-20 or 90-10. Would there be a way you could allocate this for projects that are successful on the Job Act to utilize that toward the local match fund?
I don't know.
Are we talking about different funding streams, though? Like there's a new, like the Job Act would have a new federal funding stream coming
right
down.
Yes.
And then.
Yes, but there's usually a local component.
So it's using federal dollars to match federal dollars, is what you're saying, right?
We do it several places.
Right. There is one part of ARPA that does talk about a restriction on matching, but it's pretty specific, and I think I need to look it up to know if it has any bearing on this. Or So it's a question where...
Because typically, I mean, towns have needs, but they typically don't have money.
Right.
So they go for grant money. And even some towns, even though they get the grant, 80-20, to come up with 20% of a $10 million job is difficult for them to do. So if there was some way... I know the state handles it with Marchicelli funds. You can get up to 15% on a match, so the town will have to come up with 5%, which gives them the ability to actually do projects that they normally wouldn't be able to do. I was just curious if...
It's an interesting idea. I think what I'd like to do is, if it's all right with you, put it that in a little bit of a holding pattern until the 27th of February to see what response we actually get from towns, yep, to see if there is any appetite for further projects in this arena.
I know there's towns that have projects, but they were awarded on the first cycle, so they're banned from the second cycle.
Right.
Yet there are bona fide projects out there that we're going to say, well, you know, there's no interest, so let's put the money back when there actually is interest, but we're not qualifying a town for round two because they accepted money for round one.
Round one.
Even though some of those projects have county significance, they're in a major corridor, they're in, you know, places that we need affordable housing, but no one's coming in to build affordable housing because there's no water and sewer. Mm. So, I mean, it's almost like a catch-22.
I hear what you're saying.
And if we could do, like, for instance, with the hotel, whatever number, address
quality
on 28, Quality mm-hmm. Inn, if we could do that in other places for other towns, mm-hmm. there are viable projects mm-hmm. that could do it, but they don't have all the matching funds to qualify under some of the federal grants. I mean, it'd be a way to help out the county.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. Did you find that when you were getting applications, people were saying we have more than one project and which one should we do?
We had that specifically in two cases.
In two cases.
Lloyd presented two and Rosendale presented two.
Yeah, Lloyd actually has four.
And they were, you know, for a municipality to put through all the work for two applications, I'm not surprised to hear that there's maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
It's an
interesting idea. So I think what's on the table is to look if you could do some research about CARES Act. Can we match CARES Act funding and ARPA funding? Is there any issue with that?
Jobs Act.
Oh, sorry, job. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With the ARPA funding, is there any problems there? And then this is a. Would we have to change this resolution or with this umbrella?
I think Herb, you can rewrite a resolution called the Infrastructure Reserve Fund or something. Or matching. I mean.
And we could even do that with county, reserve funds. It doesn't even have to come out of ARPA. But, you know,
right.
Rather than see the sponsor withdraw this,
mm-hmm.
maybe, you know, we could look into, you know, whether that this money can be used rather than withdraw it now. Maybe, I mean, if you can't, you have plenty of time.
So, is the federal funding that you're talking about, is it water, sewer, are there other infrastructure things like roads, is it
bridges?
What
mm-hmm.
It's trillions of dollars.
Right.
And it encompasses a whole myriad of, it's an infrastructure bill.
So it'd be interesting.
Anything that can be considered infrastructure.
So I kind of like what you're saying is to retool the idea and make it an infrastructure support rather than specifically water and sewer so that it opens it up then to other projects that are possibly on the table.
That's one of the greatest needs though is water and sewer.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have Bridge New York, we have Culvert New York, we right. have, you know, there's a lot of additional programs out there to cover mm-hmm. roads, bridges, you know, buildings, whatever. But there's not a lot out there for water and sewer.
Got it.
And there's a huge need there.
Okay.
But it wouldn't exclude it, you know,
right.
going to
yeah.
Right. infrastructure.
Right. And maybe we could build a new light rail system to Rolls
I love that idea.
Well, let's straighten out UCAP.
That's $1 million, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think Herbie saw this.
But
Herbie saw this.
We're going to retool this.
Herbie saw this.
Some significant changes that are going to
Absolutely.
You know, would still be okay.
38%.
Yeah.
In a large,
oh, is it?
Voluntary.
That's what we did the
other. Okay. Thank you.
That's good.
So let's continue this conversation then. Yep. All right, because I think it's an interesting idea. So let's get a little bit more information, research, and then continue that on. All right.
So we're just going to take no action.
So we're going to take no action on this tonight.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to resolution number 42. Can I get a motion for discussion?
I will second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Okay. Aye.
Great. All right. So this is the contract that we are talking about. We're talking about $400,000 entered into with RUPCO. This is for the retrofit. So I just want to give you a little information on this. So this past economic development, 4-1. Past energy and environment, 5-1. Past public works, 5-0. It was postponed for 1 month in ways and means. And I think that the reason, I know one of the reasons that I was hoping to get a little more time just was to understand the process a little bit better about the bidding process on this. You know, where was it sent out to? How many RFPs did you get back? Or how many responses to the RFP did you get back? And what was the criteria for choosing RUPCO? I love RUPCO, but I think that we need to do our due diligence and make sure that we're not giving every contract to RUPCO or to family. That's been brought up several times, you know. So do you have any?
I can provide an answer.
That'd be great.
So being that this was a project that first had CDBG funds, I know, which was I wasn't part of, but was vetted through the state, with RUPCO, and they handled that first phase. We have handled this as a sole source procurement. So, and we are subject to, subawards are subject to uniform guidance rules. ARPA is subject to uniform guidance rules, and uniform guidance rules say subawards are subject to the federal procurement rules. In that, sorry, there's a process here, but in that, yes, there's five exceptions where you can do non-competitive procurement for five different reasons. The one that applies here is sole source, and that's what we're proceeding under. I am aware that RUPCO has gotten more than, you know, I don't know that we have officially have any signed contract with RUPCO, but they've obviously, their names come up many times. I think that they are the best, you know, again, we haven't done full procurement, but being that they have been in this process, have done the work, have kind of created the program, I think it's a logical sole source and second phase for what they're doing.
Yeah, I learned a lot more when you were explaining it, actually, just a little while ago. I hadn't heard any of that background, so that made me personally feel more comfortable with it. It came to us like a fait accompli, you know. Okay, RUPCO's getting this, and I was like, that just doesn't feel right to me. That feels like there should be more process, or we should understand the behind the scenes there. So now I get that, and I just want to open it to the committee, or anybody in the room. If you have questions about that, why was RUPCO chosen for this, or are they the right partner for this? All right.
That's a great point. I hear similar concerns about family and RUPCO, and how as soon as $34 million was available, they were the first ones to get it because they're professionals,
right?
And they know how to get it,
right?
But who else is qualified to get money in our community? A lot of nonprofits, as we learned.
Yep, and I think again, this is for our benefit to be able to tell our constituents. Well, you know, they see why was RUPCO chosen again. Well, here's why. Now I can go back and have reasons. And so, all right, I'm fine with this. If I don't hear anything else from the committee, I think we can take a vote on this. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. So this passes. Thank you. Great. If I could get a motion to discuss resolution 43.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. All right. So this is approving the extension of a contract for $136,000, $136,666 to LaBelle Associates, and this is for the contract related to the brownfield. So
So is this the phase that's really the, this is the assessment, the site assessment phase? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, okay. I think, so if you're talking about site assessment in terms of, right, the phase one, and then right. if warranted by the phase one, which is really the site investigation,
right.
Then they would go to phase two, which would be testing.
Okay. And,
how many properties?
Yeah, I'm looking right now. 13, okay. And
Chair, I might just be able to add a little bit more.
Please.
Because I don't want the committee to be surprised. There's likely going to be another contract resolution coming at some point. Because I know from helping Deputy Director Laval with this, there's about four different categories that the properties were grouped into, and those were there was an SOQ, and then there was a request for a quote, and LaBella and this contract are for three out of four of those groupings of property. There is a fourth grouping of property that has a separate contractor.
So I'm seeing A, C, and D, so I'm assuming there's a B somewhere.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, got it. So, if you would like, I can actually tell you what the properties are.
Got them right here.
You got them. Perfect. Okay, great. Does anybody have any concerns with this work or where we're at in the process? And can you just explain why B was pulled out?
No, I'm sorry. I don't have that exact information. A little bit of a guess here, but I think they were probably required a different scope of service based on the concerns.
Okay.
The site.
All right.
I'm sure there was that.
Okay. Aaron, I'll take them.
We asked that in Public Works, and I don't remember the answer, but it was answered.
Okay. Did you feel satisfied with it?
I did. Okay. I remember feeling satisfied.
All right. That's good. All right. So unless there's any questions on this, I'm just going to call a vote on this. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Okay. I think this is, again, good work that we're doing here. Cleaning up our environment.
And just real quick, just yes, are we expecting to get a follow up on those B?
It'll be a separate resolution, right?
Yeah, it's a separate contract, so it would have to. Question I have is whether or not it's over 50.
That's what I was just going to ask.
I don't know the answer.
Okay.
On that.
If it's not,
or at least that's what I was told.
If it's not, could we at least, as a committee, see the properties? Could we get the listing for the B? Because we don't have the listing for the B properties.
I will look into that.
Okay, that'd be great. All right. Excellent. Okay, last resolution. Could I get a motion for discussion for resolution 44? Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so this is to authorize the chair of the legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Lloyd, ARPA SLFRF subrecipient, to partially fund replacement of a municipal water storage tank. So this is one of the contracts for sewer and water that was approved. One of 11, was it?
How many? 12 total.
12 total.
I'm saying 11 because we got one in front of you and 11 more to go.
Got it. Okay. Let me see if there's anything else. This is Town Lloyd, and it's to replace a water storage tank. So, any discussion on this? No? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. This passes. Great. Excellent. All right. Thank you. So, new business. So, we've got our committee meetings. Legislator Sperry she's teaching, and she has some conflicts with Wednesday evenings, just a couple of them. So I want to, I'm going to work with Amber, and we're going to come up with the possibility of maybe doing a couple, two daytime ones. Is that even remotely possible for you, Craig?
I could do daytime.
Okay. If I know that, Aaron, you said that, Legislator Levine, you said that if there was enough advance notice, mm-hmm. that would be possible, too. So we're going to come up, I think it's only two dates.
Yeah, for a short term.
Yeah, I think it would be only two dates. So we're going to come up with those dates and see if we can do them actually on Wednesday during the day rather than in the evening. So, all right, thank you for your flexibility on that. It's nice to have all committee members present if possible.
All right, and then the last thing I want to just mention is that, and we've been talking about it a little bit, is this idea of this report that we're pulling together. I really want this to be a collaborative process, so I really want to hear your ideas on what you'd like to see in this report, how structure, content, you know, any thoughts on, like, we just came up with this idea of actually going and interviewing some of the nonprofits and things like that. So if any kind of ideas like that pop up, I want this report to really feel, I want the user to feel like they really, really understand how we spent this money, why we spent it the way we spent it. And Amber's going to be working with it, with Nate and the team as well. And so any thoughts on that, please let me know directly, and we'll incorporate them, and we'll sort of get a wish list going on for this final report. All right, any further thoughts on anything we talked about? We're all good. All right. Can I have a motion for adjournment?
I'll move.
All right.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you for your kind attention, everyone.
6:12.
Yeah, thank you.